Welcome to your GCSE Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving into one of the most fascinating and exam-critical topics on the OCR specification, science and religion. Whether you're sitting Component 02 or just want to really nail this topic, you're in exactly the right place. Grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get into it. This topic sits in Section 3 of Component 02 on the OCR J625 specification. It asks a genuinely big question. Can science and religion coexist, or are they fundamentally in conflict? And the brilliant thing is, the answer isn't simple, which is exactly what examiners love. By the end of this podcast, you'll be able to discuss the Big Bang, evolution, Genesis, stewardship, dominion, and the philosophical models that sit between science and faith, all with the kind of precision that earns you top marks. Let's start with the basics. There are two major scientific theories you absolutely must know and, crucially, you must never confuse them. The Big Bang theory is about the origins of the universe. Around 13.8 billion years ago, all matter, energy, space, and time exploded outward from an infinitely dense singularity. The universe has been expanding ever since. This is supported by evidence including the cosmic microwave background radiation, the redshifting of galaxies, and the observed expansion of the universe. The Big Bang tells us how the universe began, not why and not what came before. Evolution, on the other hand, is about the origins of species. Charles Darwin published On the Origin of Species in 1859, proposing that all living organisms share common ancestors and that species change over time through a process called natural selection. Genetic mutations that help an organism survive are passed on. Those that don't are gradually eliminated. Evolution tells us how life developed and diversified. It does not address the origin of the universe. Here's your first exam warning. Candidates frequently confuse these two theories in their answers. The Big Bang is cosmology, the universe. Evolution is biology, life. Keep them separate and you'll immediately stand out. Now, how do Christians respond to these scientific theories? This is where it gets really interesting and where many students make a critical error. There is no single Christian view. Examiners will not award full marks to responses that treat Christianity as monolithic. You must distinguish between denominations and theological traditions. Let's look at Genesis first. Genesis 1 describes God creating the world in 6 days, with humans created on the sixth day. Genesis 1 verse 28 states, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it." This verse is central to debates about humanity's relationship with the natural world. There are two main Christian interpretations of Genesis. The first is the literal interpretation associated with young earth creationism. Fundamentalist Christians, including many evangelical Protestants, read Genesis as historically and scientifically accurate. They believe the earth is approximately 6,000 years old, that God created all species distinctly, and that evolution is incompatible with their faith. For them, accepting the Big Bang or evolution would undermine the authority of Scripture. Ken Ham and the Creation Museum in Kentucky are well-known modern examples of this position. The second is the liberal or metaphorical interpretation. Liberal Protestants in the Roman Catholic Church take the view that Genesis is a theological and poetic text, not a scientific account. It conveys truths about God's relationship with creation, that God is the creator, that creation is good, that humans have a special responsibility, without intending to describe the mechanism of creation. Pope Francis, in his 2015 encyclical Laudato Si, explicitly affirmed that evolution and the Big Bang are consistent with Catholic teaching. The Catholic Church's position, formally stated since Pope Pius XII in 1950, is that evolution is compatible with faith as long as one accepts that God is the ultimate source of existence. This is a crucial distinction for your exam. When you write about Christian responses to science, always specify, are you talking about fundamentalist Christians, liberal Protestants, or the Catholic Church? Examiners credit this precision. Now let's talk about the philosophical models of the science-religion relationship. And this is where you can really impress examiners with sophisticated analysis. The conflict model suggests that science and religion are fundamentally opposed. Proponents point to historical examples like Galileo Galilei, who was placed under house arrest by the Catholic Church in 1633 for supporting the heliocentric model of the solar system. Richard Dawkins, the evolutionary biologist and prominent atheist, argues in The God Delusion that religious belief is incompatible with scientific rationality. The conflict model is sometimes called the warfare thesis. However, and this is important, most historians of science now reject the warfare thesis as an oversimplification. The relationship between science and religion has been far more complex and collaborative throughout history. The NOMA model was proposed by the evolutionary biologist Stephen Jay Gould in 1999. NOMA stands for Non-Overlapping Magisteria. Gould argued that science and religion occupy separate domains, or magisteria, and therefore cannot conflict. Science addresses empirical questions. How old is the universe? How did species develop? Religion addresses questions of meaning, value, and purpose. Why are we here? How should we live? Because they ask different questions, they cannot contradict each other. Many religious scientists find NOMA appealing because it allows them to accept scientific findings without feeling their faith is threatened. The integration or dialogue model is associated with the physicist and Anglican priest John Polkinghorne. Polkinghorne argued that science and religion are not just separate, but are actually complementary. Both are seeking truth about reality, just from different angles. Science can tell us that the universe is finely tuned for life, what physicists call the anthropic principle, and theology can provide a framework for understanding why. Polkinghorne believed that the fine-tuning of the universe's physical constants is consistent with the existence of a creator God. His model invites genuine dialogue between scientific and theological inquiry. Now, there's one more concept you absolutely must understand for this topic, the God of the Gaps fallacy. The God of the Gaps argument works like this. Wherever science cannot yet explain something, we insert God as the explanation. For example, before Newton, people might have said, "We don't know why the planets move. Therefore, God moves them." The problem is that as science advances and fills in those gaps, God gets pushed further and further back. Critics argue, this makes God a shrinking explanation rather than a foundational one. Polkinghorne himself rejected God of the Gaps reasoning, arguing instead that God should be understood as the ground of all being, not just an explanation for what we don't yet understand. Examiners specifically credit candidates who can identify and critique the God of the Gaps fallacy. It shows sophisticated philosophical thinking. Let's move on to stewardship and dominion, the second major area of this topic, and one that's closely linked to environmental ethics. Genesis 1 verse 28 gives humans dominion over the earth. The word dominion has historically been interpreted as giving humans the right to use, exploit, and control the natural world for human benefit. This interpretation has been used to justify intensive farming, deforestation, and the exploitation of natural resources. However, many Christians argue that dominion must be understood alongside stewardship. Stewardship is the idea that humans are caretakers of God's creation. We hold the earth in trust for God and for future generations. Psalm 24 verse 1 states, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." If the earth belongs to God, humans have a responsibility to care for it, not exploit it. Pope Francis's encyclical Laudato Si, published in 2015, is a landmark document for this topic. Laudato Si, which means "praise be to you" in Italian, argues that environmental destruction is both a scientific and a moral crisis. Francis explicitly links climate change, biodiversity loss, and environmental degradation to a failure of stewardship. He calls for an ecological conversion, a change in how humans relate to the natural world. This document is an excellent source of authority to cite in your exam answers. Now let's talk exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. First, command words. When you see outline, you need to give a brief, accurate description, typically two or three developed points. You're not being asked to evaluate. Keep it tight. If it's a three-mark question, spend no more than 3 minutes on it. When you see explain, you need to give reasons or causes with developed explanation. Use the PEEL structure: point, evidence, explanation, link. Don't just describe, explain why. The big one is discuss. This is your 15-mark essay question. It requires a balanced argument. You must present multiple perspectives, evaluate them, and then provide a justified conclusion. And here's the critical point. Your conclusion must be a genuine judgment based on your evaluation, not just a summary of what you've already said. Candidates who fail to provide a justified conclusion are capped at level 3. That's a maximum of 9 marks out of 15. A strong conclusion might sound like, "Overall, while the conflict model captures some historical tensions, the NOMA and integration models are more intellectually satisfying because they acknowledge the distinct but complementary roles of science and religion." The evidence of scientific figures like Polkinghorne, who are also committed Christians, suggests that conflict is not inevitable. A really useful structure for the 15-mark question is the MeFarm method. For the statement, against the statement, religious views, and here you must name specific denominations, and my conclusion with a justified judgment. Common mistakes to avoid. Number one, conflating the Big Bang with evolution. There are different theories addressing different questions. Number two, writing Christians believe without specifying which Christians. Always name the denomination, fundamentalist Christians, liberal Protestants, the Catholic Church. Number three, asserting that science relies on evidence while religion relies on faith without qualification. This is too simplistic. Theology also involves evidence, scripture, tradition, reason, and experience, and science involves interpretive frameworks that go beyond raw data. Number four, forgetting to cite specific sources of authority. Don't just say the Bible says, quote, Genesis 1 verse 28, Psalm 24 verse 1, or Laudato Si specifically. Examiners award marks for accurate citation of sources of wisdom and authority. Now let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, and then give the answer. Question 1. What does NOMA stand for, and who proposed it? Think. Non-overlapping magisteria, proposed by Stephen Jay Gould in 1999. Question 2. What is the difference between the Big Bang theory and evolution? Think. The Big Bang explains the origin of the universe, approximately 13.8 billion years ago. Evolution explains the development of species through natural selection, proposed by Darwin in 1859. Question 3. What is the God of the Gaps fallacy? Think. The God of the Gaps is the argument that God is used to explain whatever science cannot yet account for, meaning God's role shrinks as scientific knowledge grows. Question 4. What does Genesis 1 verse 28 say, and why is it important for this topic? Think. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. It's important because it's used to justify both dominion, human control over nature, and, in context with Psalm 24 verse 1, stewardship, responsible care for God's creation. Question 5. Name one key difference between young earth creationism and the Catholic Church's position on evolution. Think. Young earth creationists reject evolution and believe the earth is around 6,000 years old. The Catholic Church, since Pope Pius XII in 1950 and reaffirmed by Pope Francis, accepts evolution as compatible with faith. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the essential points for your exam. 1. The Big Bang Theory explains the origin of the universe, 13.8 billion years ago. Evolution explains the development of species, Darwin, 1859. Never confuse them. 2. Christians are not monolithic. Fundamentalist Christians take a literal view of Genesis. Liberal Protestants and the Catholic Church take a metaphorical view and accept science. 3. The three models of science-religion relationship are conflict, NOMA, Gould, 1999, and integration or dialogue, Polkinghorne. 4. The God of the Gaps fallacy is a critical concept. Know it, name it, critique it. 5. Stewardship versus dominion is rooted in Genesis 1 verse 28 and Psalm 24 verse 1. Laudato Si by Pope Francis 2015 is your key modern source of authority. 6. In your 15-mark essay, always use farm, for, against, religious views, my conclusion, and ensure your conclusion is a justified judgment, not just a summary. You've got this. Go back over your notes, test yourself with the retrieval questions in your study guide, and remember, the examiners want to see you think, not just recall. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode.